Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope your Wednesday is going well. It is July 17th, 2019, and we have a lot to talk about this morning, a lot in the news, including, I don't know if you heard, but big news regarding the largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood. The new person in charge, she is out of there. She was dismissed from her position as a new director of Planned Parenthood, Dr. Wen. And according to the reports we're seeing, although she was aware of some discussion on her eventual departure, even though this is pretty quick, she found out about it after a secret board meeting that was held. Now, the secular media are just basically saying this is a change at the top. They're not giving too much detail. But the pro-life experts are saying that this has to do with the fact that Planned Parenthood thought she wasn't aggressive enough in terms of political agenda. She was taking, because she's a doctor, she was taking more of a quote-unquote healthcare approach, even though she has been pretty outspoken about abortion and saying that this is the number one thing that they do. She still wasn't aggressive enough for the Planned Parenthood folks. And so she is now out, and they've replaced her with an acting director at this point. So a lot of press releases coming out from various pro-life organizations, and I thought it would be most effective, instead of doing the news, because this is a big news story, we'll treat this as our news segment this morning on a Wednesday. Someone who knows the inside of Planned Parenthood very well, because she was in it for years and was one of their star employees, Abby Johnson, who is an amazing sister in the Lord and came out of Planned Parenthood and walked directly into the arms of 40 Days for Life, leaving a very prominent position. She was considered a top director, and she was on her way up in the organization. She was the youngest Planned Parenthood director serving a facility in Austin, Texas. And she left because she actually witnessed, or she was called into, and you know the story, called into the surgery room and asked to assist in an abortion, and she saw the baby being killed on the ultrasound, and that was it. She walked away. So we are scheduled to speak with her in just a few minutes, but I did want to let you know that we'll be talking with her, as well as after the break, we're going to be checking in with our friend Rose Sweet, a wonderful speaker, Catholic author. She writes a lot about marriage and also divorce and the pain of divorce and annulments and what the church teaches. But she's just written a beautiful book for women all about romance, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. So Rose Sweet joining us, and she's getting up at about 6:15 for us because she lives on the West Coast, so we greatly appreciate her joining the conversation. And then it's a Wednesday, and you know what that means. We go over to Joan Lewis and check in with Joan for the latest on Vatican news and everything that's happening Rome-wise. So since we don't have Abby yet, we will give you a little bit of the newscast and then break as soon as we have Abby. Right now, briefly, let's see what's going on in and around the world on a Wednesday morning, July 17th. A lot of discussion both nationally and internationally on the issue of religious freedom over in Rome, and Joan will have more on this, a top Vatican official welcoming a UK-commissioned Persecuted Christians review at an event in the Eternal City, saying Christians in certain countries risk being completely purged, while in some democracies they even face discrimination for, sound familiar, standing up for their beliefs regarding life, marriage, and the family. As Vatican's Devin Watkins reports, the Persecuted Christians review detailing a recent surge in violence against adherents to the faith around the world.
Around 215 million Christians faced persecution in 2018, and an average of 250 faithful were killed every month, according to the Foreign Office. Women and children are particularly vulnerable to forms of sexual violence. The Vatican's Undersecretary for Relations with States, Monsignor Antoine Camilleri, spoke at the Rome launch of the review. Quoting Pope Francis, Monsignor Camilleri called persecution against Christians a sort of genocide caused by general and collective indifference. He lamented the impunity surrounding crimes committed on the basis of religion and the limited attention the media gives such discrimination. Monsignor Camilleri said religious persecution against Christians should worry adherents of other faiths as well, since it hits at the most fundamental human freedom, which is to freely choose a religion. The review focuses mainly on persecution that occurs in the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. But Monsignor Camilleri expanded the scope to include other forms of discrimination and persecution that are carried out even in established democracies. There's a growing tendency, he said, to criminalize or penalize religious leaders for presenting the basic tenets of their faith, especially regarding the areas of life, marriage, and the family. He called this type of discrimination less radical on the level of physical persecution, but he said it is nevertheless detrimental to the full enjoyment of freedom of religion and the practice or expression of that conviction, whether in private or public. Religion, said Monsignor Camilleri, can help unify societies and promote peace in its quest for the common good. The right to religious freedom is rooted in the very dignity of the human person, he said, and is a condition for the pursuit of truth that does not impose itself by force. I'm Devin Watkins.
Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department launching its second ministerial to advance religious freedom on Tuesday. Tarl is the world's largest religious freedom event of its kind, a three-day event beginning a day after a Pew Research Center report revealing that religious persecution is a powerful menace worsening across the globe, especially for Christians identified as the most mistreated devout group. And being that we have Abby Johnson on the phone, I do want to play this report regarding what we're going to be discussing. And the current head of Planned Parenthood, no longer the director, citing disagreements with board leaders over whether Planned Parenthood should focus on health care or abortion advocacy. The organization's president, as Mark Mayfield reports, Dr. Leanna Wen, stepping down due to quote-unquote philosophical differences over the direction the organization should be moving.
In a tweet, Wen said that she had learned she had been ousted at a secret meeting of the Planned Parenthood board yesterday afternoon. Wen said she had been in good faith negotiations over her departure based on philosophical differences over the direction and future of the reproductive rights organization. Wen assumed the Planned Parenthood post just 8 months ago after she stepped down as Baltimore City's health commissioner.
All right, and joining us now with reaction to this is Abby Johnson from And Then There Were None, author, speaker, and of course you know her from her great work in many areas, just at a huge pro-life women's conference, which was a big success. Abby, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, so your thoughts when you heard this, that they were basically forcing Dr. Wen out. What do you think's going on here?
You know, when she first became the president, I thought it was a really interesting move by Planned Parenthood because they've always had activists as heads of their organizations, not medical personnel. And I thought, you know, that's going to be really interesting because eventually she's going to have to come to see what this organization is really providing in terms of health care. And I thought that can't go over well when that happens, because she's a doctor. I mean, she knows standard of care. She knows what how women should be treated. and so I don't know. I don't know if it was, you know, I mean, I was talking to a friend last night, and he said, you know, I wonder if it's the quotas, the abortion quotas, sort of the constant push for abortion at Planned Parenthood. And I think that certainly could be it. I mean, she's talked about moving toward more, you know, women's health care, and they keep doubling down on abortion access. And, you know, as a physician, that might have been concerning for her.
So were you surprised by the move to force her out? I mean, what were your thoughts when you first heard about it?
I mean, I wasn't really surprised. I was surprised when I saw her first tweet about it because she really outed them in a public way. She was obviously very angry about how she was treated and put that out there publicly. I mean, I was proud of her for doing that, honestly, for just, you know, telling people how they had treated her and what had really been going on. But I was thankful because I thought, you know, she's going to have the opportunity to have a conversion experience
mm-hmm.
outside of the clinic more than she would inside of Planned Parenthood. And so I was just really thankful that that day did come, that she did leave Planned Parenthood, whether she was forced out or whether she left on her own terms.
Now, do you think, I know it's very, very soon after this happened, but will, and then there were none reach out to her? I mean, is that on your heart?
Yeah, we already have.
Mm.
And we, you know, I don't expect that she's pro-life or anything like that, but I certainly know what the transition is like outside of Planned Parenthood, and I definitely know what it's like to do it very publicly, and I have reached out personally, just letting her know that that I'm here to talk, that I understand what she's going through, and we as a ministry have also reached out.
The thing I thought was so interesting was a phrase, philosophical differences. Doesn't say much, but at mm-hmm. the same time, it says a lot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah. I remember my resignation, I wrote something about having moral conflicts. And I thought, that's similar sort of language. You know, I think that Planned Parenthood needs somebody who's an activist. And they don't need anyone who is going to promote women's health care, because that's not what they're about. They are about abortion rights and abortion access. They're not about safety for patients. And that's not going to fit in line with a physician.
Mm.
So they need somebody who's willing to throw women under the bus, who's willing to throw their safety under the bus in order to push forward abortion rights.
It would be interesting to find out, and who knows, and we pray, please God, that this comes out, if she was becoming aware of some things that were going on and maybe speaking up about them behind the scenes?
I think that's very possible. You know, she's only there for 8 months. I
mm-hmm.
don't think that you make a decision to leave after 8 months without coming to a realization that maybe what you've been a part of is not what you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think she went in probably eyes a little closed, a little, you know, some rose-colored glasses based on what she's heard about Planned Parenthood in the media. Now she sees what they're really about. And once you do, you have to make a decision. It doesn't mean that she's pro-life. It doesn't mean that she's had a conversion. But it does mean that maybe her eyes have been opened to their real agenda.
Well, we're going to pray for that, and we also want to hear in terms of your continued outreach to her. Okay, last but not least, we've got the producer and director on next week from Unplanned, because you did make it, thanks be to God, into Canada. How did that go? It just opened up over the weekend, correct? Unplanned.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was only about 50 theaters in Canada, still came in the top 20 at the box office, Canadian box office. Had the second highest per screen average at about 7,000 per showing, which is huge. That means that every screening was packed full of people. Every showing was packed. We've had theaters where every showing was sold out in 3 minutes.
Wow.
Another one, every showing was sold out in 9 minutes. So Canadians have, you know, they have spoken up. They rose up, they got this film into Canada, and they are turning out to see Unplanned, and it's been very exciting.
All right. Well, we're going to get more on that next week when we're joined by Gary and, of course, a wonderful team behind Unplanned. Abby, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. I know it's been a busy time for you. I know you were down at the border and doing such great things. We reported on that earlier this week as well, and we will be in touch. And this is going to be, I think, very interesting, and let's pray for Dr. Nguyen and all of those who still work at Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities, to let them know that there is another way, and Abby is there, as well as the wonderful people at And Then There Were None. Of course, the book Unplanned, a bestseller, now an amazing movie that's out there around the globe, and we just made it across the river from us in Detroit, because we're very close to Canada. Oh, Canada, now seeing this amazing film. Thanks, Abby. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Thanks so much, Teresa.
All right, God bless you. And we'll be right back to speak with Rose Sweet, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. Stay tuned.
Today you heard a lot of this.
Republicans and Democrats argue over fiscal spending.
But when's the last time you heard this? What would happen if we slowed down enough to be able to hear God speak to us, to meet you where you are? UnleashTheGospel.org gives you a chance to do just that. In the midst of everything, visit UnleashTheGospel.org. Stories to inspire you, resources to encounter, grow, and witness.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomeo here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com. Forget, we'll have more on what Abby was talking about. We're following that story of the Planned Parenthood director leaving after only 8 months. She took the place of Cecile Richards. We're also going to be covering the success of Unplanned in Canada, as we mentioned next week. Andrew's lined up our friends from the film Unplanned. Right now, we're going to be talking with Rose Sweet. Love her work. And she's so sweet, just like her name says, and she really is. A Catholic Women's Guide to Romance is her latest book. And, Rose, this is such an important book right now. Women have been sold such a bill of goods. I mean, in addition to abortion and artificial contraception and sexual promiscuity, sexual relations outside of marriage, the whole idea of romance, I think, has been lost because of the so-called sexual revolution. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. You know, I would say that it hasn't been lost. It's been twisted.
Twisted. That's true.
Yeah,
very true. Yeah.
The deep desire is always there.
Right.
We just go to the wrong places and we have the wrong ideas about it. But you're right. It's a bunch of lies. And, you know, I fell into that a long time ago, too. This twisting of the truth has been around, well, since the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's look at this. So God is romancing Adam and Eve and giving them all this wonderful stuff and loving them and walking with them in the cool of the evening. I mean, that's romantic. It's beauty. And then the serpent comes along and he tries his own version of romance. And it's a twisted version. And I really think we're dealing with the same thing now. Women either are seeking the fulfillment of romance in sex, which is not the fulfillment of romance, or they hate romance, they want nothing to do with it. They're rejecting their gender even because of it. They've been wounded. They don't believe in it anymore. So they're jaded. So they're either hyped up on sex, or they're jaded, or they're all kinds of in-between. 50 shades of in-between.
Oh, I was just going to mention, speaking of 50 shades, but deep down, as you said, even though it's been twisted, they still desire it, and they're rejecting it, but deep down, and this is why they act out in other ways, because they're looking to replace it with something else.
Right, and you know what? Romance is so much bigger than we think it is, it's lovely, and it points to something pretty mysterious. I have this little section in the book. I was just looking at it this morning about, you know, even sales clerks try to woo us with the latest perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, big companies will court somebody that they want to hire. You know, we use this terminology, this marital romantic terminology, all the time of people. You know, we belong with somebody or something. We need to be attached to something that we perceive as good and true and beautiful. Now, does that sound familiar to any of us Catholics? You know? What is it that is perfectly good and perfectly true and perfectly beautiful that we just long to be one with forever?
God.
It's not our boyfriend. I know. But we start with the boyfriend, you know, and then we move into the husband and even the spouse. And even in marriages, if our spouse lets us down, we can turn to a version of romance with our children. I'm not talking about sexuality, but romance, drawing of the heart to some kind of union through beauty and beautiful gestures and beautiful acts. You know, even little kids bring their mothers flowers. You know, all those are signs of the heart's deepest, deepest imprinting, looking for good and true and beautiful through romance.
So given all the craziness in the world and all the ways it's been twisted and sold, and even when 50 Shades of Grey, when the books first came out, and then, Lord help us, the films, you wouldn't believe, you probably would, the attacks I received from Catholic women saying I was oppressed and I was backward for saying that they shouldn't be taking in this garbage. This is from Catholics.
I know. I'm not surprised, because I've heard the same thing. And then even some of the circles of not real close friends, but Catholic friends who were all reading the book and talking about it, and I was aghast. And I'm not a prude. You know, I'm not a buttoned-up old, you know, church lady who's like, I can't say the word S-E-X.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just, they go to Mass, but they're flowing along with the culture. You know, and I always think, Teresa, and correct me if you have a different opinion, but I think it's not until we experience deep pain that we get jolted out of the
right lies
and we go, something isn't right here.
That's what happened with me. That's right. That's what happened with me. Yeah, same thing.
Is there something better? And then we start demanding answers and demanding the truth. But until we're in that pain, we love the lie. The lie feels really good.
Oh, very true. We're talking with Rose Sweet, her book, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. So how do we begin this journey and learn about real romance? How do you direct women in the book? And I know the book, but I want you to explain it to our listeners.
Well, I'm glad you even read the book, because it's a little tiny book, and it's mm-hmm. pretty, and it's a little keepsake. They're hardcover. And as a matter of fact, this is one in a series of going into the interior life to find what the heart really desires. And I start with things about beauty. My little definition in this book is that romance is the experience of or being drawn into love through beauty. So I begin, but let's look at what's beautiful. What are beautiful things in nature? What are beautiful things on your dining table? What are beautiful things in your closet? What are beautiful acts or words or gestures that you see? Just beauty is all around us in the invisible and the visible world. And by just being more aware of beauty and allowing your heart to be drawn to that, it's something happens, and we start to expand our desire for something more than just the little stuff that we've been content with.
Mm.
So that's what I'm trying to do through the book, is look around at what's really beautiful and want more of it.
Yep.
Let your heart want more of it.
Yeah, and all that beauty, all the beauty comes from God.
And he is. And that's the thing, where beauty is a reflection of God. And that's what's so sad about, as you were saying, some people in the church, you know, we swing to all these extremes. We're either the buttoned-up church lady who can't admit that the human body is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and that acts of romantic love are beautiful, and they point to the way that God loves the soul, because we're scared. We know the dark side. And so we throw everything out.
Yeah. And then you have the beautiful teachings of theology of the body, right?
Oh, I love
TOB.
It just, theology of the body opened up so many doors for me emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah. Don't I mean,
you
helping
find the
us,
same?
Yeah. Understanding the gift that God has given us in its proper context and the beauty of it and what it represents.
Right. And the fact that we should not be ashamed of our deepest desires. Even though we might go to the wrong place to get them satisfied, the desires are good, and God wired us that way. That really helped me get rid of a lot of false guilt.
Mm. Let's open up the phone lines, Rose. I'm sure there's questions that people have, women and men. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Our guest is author and speaker Rose Sweet. Her latest book, it's part of a series that she's working on, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. So before we take a break, we have about 2 minutes. So what would be the first step if a Catholic woman is looking for true romance in her life? What do you think?
Well, I've learned the hard way. I think you have, too. I'd drop right down on my knees, and I'd say, God, help expose the lies that I have in my head and open up my heart. I'm ready for something awesome and mind-blowing, so please prepare me. I would start with prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you write this book for single women, married women, anyone?
I wrote it for everybody. It's part of my Adventure into the Interior Life series. But the publisher thinks that women will buy the book and men won't.
I think men should buy it. That's why we have a lot of men watching The Catholic View for women, because they want to understand women better, which I think is great. We need to understand each other more and more. Let's take a quick break. If you have a question for Rose Sweet, 877-573-7825. The book is A Catholic Women's Guide to Romance. We'll be right back. We were made for more, but we don't believe it. We don't think we're good enough. We don't think we were made for more, but we were. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and don't buy it. Rose and I know firsthand. We bought it for many years. 877-573-7825. Rose Sweet is our guest. You know her well from the great work she's done for many, many years, helping those who've gone through divorce and helping them understand the church teaching regarding annulments. This latest book and this series that she's working on the interior life, I think, is not just for married women, married Catholic women, or single Catholic women, or, let's say, women who are living, you know, going into the religious life or a particular vocation. This is for everybody. But it says A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, because I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry, but you know what I'm saying. I'm being somewhat sarcastic. When you look at Humana Vitae, Pope Paul VI, now St. Pope Paul VI, was very clear and prophetic in saying that women, and I'm paraphrasing, would suffer the most, that women would become objects. And that's what we have become. And we see this expressed with Me Too. The original women who spoke up about Me Too said, we deserve better. And yet at the same time, they have not come to the understanding that they can't have it both ways. They can't on one hand say we're not treated properly, we're harassed continually, and then be in an industry that promotes it and just puts it out there as if this is what women want. So there's still this disconnect there, but that also comes from the whole Me Too movement, right, Rose? It comes from that desire to be treated differently and to be treated better and to be romanced in a different way.
Exactly, exactly. We expect respect and kindness and gentleness and courtesy and to be, here it is, we want to be delighted in, whether it's from our employer or our coworkers. You know, we were made to be cherished in all areas of our life. And, you know, John Paul II said the same thing that really hit me. As strong as women can be and powerful as we can be, and we are, we have a certain weakness for man. We were made for him, and we long for him, for his tender touch, for his protection, for his love. And we are angry when we don't get it, and we're abused, and we're objectified, and yet we still long for it. So there's a great confusion there, and I've learned over the years, if we're in this culture of great pain and a bunch of garbage, we have to learn to be alone. And we're never alone, as the Church teaches, to make our hearts long even more for God himself.
The first reading today, God telling Moses, I will be with you, right?
See, mm-hmm. That's the thing. We need to long for God more. And this going to human romance and human beauty and the things that we understand and allowing God's grace to expand our vision, expand our hearts, will help us pull away from the 50 Shades stuff and move higher into eternity right here and now.
Yeah. I mean, look at St. Augustine and the life he lived prior to. He experimented with all these different religions. He was very promiscuous. He had a child out of wedlock. And then he finally, you know, reads in Scripture the words of St. Paul, and he's like, boom. And he realizes that he has this pretty much on-the-spot conversion. But at the same time, he understands that the heart is restless until it rests in God. And so he is someone who was restless for years.
He was. And he, another one of his beautiful quotes is, the greatest romance is the search for God.
Yeah. Yes.
And the greatest adventure is looking for him, and the greatest success is finding him. And but, you know, we look back at the saints and history, and we realize this is an old pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the next generation. We were saying, you and I, after we're long gone, this is still going to be a battle. But for some reason, these last few decades, it's been on steroids. This whole ugly mess that's always been with us is just out of control right now.
Yeah, it's totally out of control. I mean, who would have thunk it where we would see all these issues with gender dysphoria and so many people confused and thinking that there's something better by changing the natural order, or trying to change, which you can't, but attempting to change the natural order of things.
Well, and Teresa, what I would like to offer your listeners too is, I know that I listen when things are simple and clear and delightful. And this is not a deep tome, this little book. I call it whipped cream. I thought of this the other day. Whipped cream is really light and fluffy, right? But it's very rich. So this little book is perfect for your daughters, your friends.
I was just going to say your daughters, yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, it is very light and easy to read, and it's even funny. You and I both like humor.
Well, you're funny. You are funny. Oh. You have a great sense of humor, which is important.
Well, thank you. And I think so, too, because that even draws people. So the book is deep and it's rich, but it's easy to read, easy to digest, and hopefully it offers a lot of hope to people that there is something really awesome worth fighting for, worth searching for.
Amen. Well, I want to go to this phone call, Anna from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I was just there speaking at their beautiful women's conference, and speaking of Jesus and God telling us that we have more, the Holy Trinity gives us so much more. The whole theme of the women's conference where I spoke in June was the woman at the well, or come to the well and experience. And that whole encounter with Jesus and the woman at the well is all about, you deserve more. You were made for something more. But Anna, what's your question for Rose this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Rose. I was wondering, what do you do when you meet somebody, beautiful, virtuous Catholic girl, and you meet somebody who falls in love with that, and they offer you all these beautiful romantic gestures, but they really feel like they can't meet up to that ideal, and then those gestures kind of go nowhere, and you end up with a broken heart. And how do you, like, get over loving that person, because you start to love them and have, you know, hopes for it, and without falling into, like, hatred or animosity or focusing on their faults or
negativity.
You value that person so much. He's such a good person. But
Anna, I know that Teresa would say a good glass of red wine that helps you get over it. I would say a margarita. But seriously, you know, we have to stop and look. It's so good to be drawn to beauty and to goodness and to love and to relationship. But we don't have to be married or be in a romantic relationship to find our deepest fulfillment and purpose. And God has so much more for us. And if you would have told me those words, Anna, when I was in my 20s or 30s, I'd go, yeah, right.
Yeah, whatever.
I read that in the catechism, too. But what you have to do, Anna, is when your heart is broken, is thank God. This is what I would do. Thank God that your heart is broken, that you're still sensitive to love, and that you're not hard and cold and bitter. And then ask him to walk with you through the grief. You have to, that's another thing. I might even write a book on that. We don't know how to grieve well mm-hmm. in this culture.
Right.
We stuff it. We go to the mall, or we drink too much, or whatever. We eat too much. Just, you know, just like you're doing right now, you picked up the phone, Anna, you called, you're sharing with your sisters. This hurts. What do I do? You know, that's what we have to do. Reach out to other people. Talk about this. And cry. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas has, Google this. We don't have time to talk about it, but there's a 5 remedies for sorrow.
One is take a good hot bath and get a good night's sleep.
Yep. Simple stuff. But again, you have to fall in love with God and remain in that relationship, because that's the only way you find true romance. And the closer you are to God and the church, the deeper understanding you're going to have about what true romance is and what you were really made for. And that's why I so appreciate the great work of my sister Rose. Rose Sweet, the book is A Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance. RoseSweet.com, and also check it out on the EWTN Religious Catalog. We'll be right back with Joan Lewis from Rome. Stay tuned.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, bringing the Bible to life. New classes are starting this September in parishes across Michigan. An online class is also available. Find out more by visiting the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan online at cbsmich.org. If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Nine minutes past the hour. It's a Wednesday. That means, of course, we go over to Italia, Roma, more specifically to speak with my sister, Joan Lewis. And gosh, Joan, so much to talk about in the news. I know there's been a lot on religious freedom both here and in Rome. There's been much talk about, there was an interesting headline on the Vatican News website this morning about how discrimination against Christians, Catholic Christians, and other Christians around the world can happen even in democracies. And the first thing, and we're a Democratic Republic in the United States, of course, but I thought of what's going on here in the U.S. and the attacks on family and life, and this is exactly what they were talking about in Rome. Same thing.
Well, and that's one of the titles, if you broke down the speech by Monsignor Camilleri, mm-hmm. On this topic, one of the titles, of course, was "This Happens Even in Democracies." And I mean, not that he named specific countries, he didn't even have to. Or it says occurs in established democracies. And the review, this group he was addressing, focused on persecution in the Middle East, Africa, and Asia, but he said it also includes discrimination and persecution that are carried out even in established democracies. In particular, he spoke of the growing tendency, quote, to criminalize or penalize religious leaders for presenting the basic tenets of their faith, especially regarding the areas of life, marriage, and the family. And he said this type of discrimination, it's less radical than the level of physical persecution, but still detrimental to, you know, the choice of freedom. And I mean, it really seems the way we're going in our country that it is easier to literally break existing laws or complain that your particular group is not included in the Constitution when, of course, every group is. I mean, there's freedom of religion, freedom of speech. I've never understood why the word speech includes burning a flag. I think of that as a physical action more than speech, even though you're making a point with it. But yes, no, Monsignor Camilleri, he's like the number three in the Secretariat of State in the Vatican, so addressing groups like this. And interestingly enough, his talk was all in English, and you don't see that too much coming out against from the Vatican, but he was addressing a group that was commissioned in the UK, the United Kingdom, so the Persecuted Christians Review.
Right.
And, of course, they had this event in Rome, and it would have behooved him, obviously, to speak to the group in their own language. But
well, I think it's very telling, and I think it's important for us to realize, because the United States at this point, although it's starting to get more violent with groups like Antifa and whatnot and horrible things that are going on, but they're not the secular media are not reporting on it. But for the most part, in the United States, I would say, and in other first world countries, but it is more of a white, I call it white martyrdom, as the church says, versus red martyrdom. But we're getting to the point where there are attacks in terms of things being thrown at people, physical attacks. If you show up to protest, a counter protester, or even with pro-life workers who are praying outside the clinics, things like that, we're seeing more and more aggressive attacks. And the report is addressing the same thing that they're talking about in the United States this very week. They have the ministerial going on with the State Department, and then Family Research Council was on my show the other day, is also doing their own event within that. So this is real, and we as Catholics need to be aware of this, because we get lulled into thinking, because we can go to Mass every week, we're fine. No big deal. We have religious freedom, but Archbishop Chaput wrote this amazing speech that he gave to Alliance Defending Freedom, talking about that it's not just freedom of worship. That's only a part of it.
Right. Exactly. And just the fact that we do freely go to Mass during the week, freely go to Mass on Sundays, we should not overlook the forms of discrimination that are out there, persecution against believing Christians, those of us who live by and love the moral codes that we have in the Ten Commandments and many other teachings of our faith. In the state of California, I mean, they're coming out with the fact that teachers, including those in private and charter schools, not just the public schools, teachers are going to be required to teach LGBT curriculum, and they are going to have to indicate organizations people, you know, kids can belong to, et cetera, et cetera. So where's the room in there? Where's the room in the, you know, Congress of the State of California for those people whose religious beliefs, not behavior against a certain group of people, but whose religious beliefs do not include how a particular group might practice the faith? So all of a sudden, I feel, not all of a sudden, Teresa, but just for a couple of years now, it's like, what does rule in our country is a minority.
Mm-hmm.
We don't seem to have majority voices anymore in local congresses or in, even city councils. Some of the things that are happening in city councils around the world around the U.S., where you hear that they don't want to begin their meeting anymore
with
prayer. Pledge of Allegiance
or
to
Pledge
the flag
of Allegiance.
Or prayer. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, if you don't really want these things, there are so many places in the world where you can live that they don't have.
But they want to change the structure and the nature of what this country is and what this country represents and how we were founded, upon whom, and you know, the whole founding fathers.
Maybe there's an island we can give to these people, and they can have their own, you know.
Well, what I think is so frustrating is you're allowed to, because of the First Amendment, if you have disagreements, that's fine. But what we're seeing is there's no room for any other discussion for people who want to be faithful to their particular religion, or for people who do believe that the United States of America is still a democratic republic. The republic for which she stands, one nation under God.
It's like trying to describe a one-sided coin.
Right.
Yeah.
And but there's no room for discussion. If you bring up anything that's different to what the extremists believe nowadays, then what you're saying is that you are a racist, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe. You can't say, unless you are in hook, line, and sinker with them, and it's a very small minority, but they have the megaphone and they have the microphones, and that's the problem.
That exactly is the problem. So You know, not that Monsignor, going back to his talk the other day, not that Monsignor Camilleri, he more or less was decrying the fact of, you know, the indifference that some people seem to feel for, you know, this persecution of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And again, sometimes we think of persecution as being only physical.
That's what I was thinking. The red martyrdom, so to speak.
Certain country or mm-hmm. people of a country in Asia or Africa burned down a church and people were, you know, held at gunpoint or something going into a church. And that's not it. It's just what you and I were talking about, whether it's in our country or another one. It's a much more subtle form of persecution. But Monsignor Camilleri at one point quoted Pope Francis, and he said persecution against Christians is, quote, a sort of genocide caused by general and collective indifference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think it's almost like people deciding, oh, my gosh, my one vote doesn't make a difference. I won't
right.
vote in the election. Well, 20 million people say that, and you can swing the election in five different states. So there's never... Yeah, indifference has to be maybe some kind of sin. I don't know, but
well, apathy. Yeah, the apathy of thinking as long as I can go to mass every week, or even, you know, if I'm not a faithful Catholic, but at least trying in a little way. Well, I could still walk in. I still get confession. I could still receive the sacraments. But really, for how long? Do you really think if this continues that they're going to allow true religious freedom in addition to worship? Are they going to allow us to peacefully gather and peacefully express ourselves and to vote a particular way? You don't think there's going to be more pressure on us to conform? I mean, and this is what they're doing right now. It's Saul Alinsky on steroids. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get to the point where someday we have an quote-unquote Emperor Constantine who fought against all the people who were fighting against Christians, and he just said, you know, enough of this. And I mean, I almost seem to be trivializing what he did for Christianity, which was open it up to non-persecution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was emperor from 312 to 337,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you could be a Christian without being persecuted. And,
yeah.
And of course, as you and I both know, his own mother, Helena, who's one of my, idols.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, she went to the Holy Land. I think she was, you know, 79, 80, 81. Many people didn't even live that long at the time. And so she went to the Holy Land determined to find the relics of Jesus. And they had been buried and spread around and given out to households. And everybody was sworn to secrecy so that the people who were against Christians would not find relics of the true cross, et cetera, and have them gone forever. So the first Christians in many, many ways were martyrs, not just the blood shed, but those who had to, even when there was somewhat freedom, you know, those who had to be careful of what they said. Hey, do you know Peter has in his house, you know, the crown of thorns?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to be very quiet about all those relics. So I admire Helena for going there and bringing them back to us, and we can see those in the church built over her home in Rome.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And also, this is why you and I both encourage so many people to really go on a pilgrimage and go to Rome, go to the Vatican,
right.
go to these different churches and be able to think about the lives of these incredible saints that went before us. And we can't take it for granted. Enough of that. Have this apathy that everything's fine, no big deal, because, you know, not in my backyard technically, at this point, but yeah, it is, because if one person is affected by this, then we all are, especially from our Christian point of view. So after they have these gatherings at the Vatican and they issue these kinds of reports, and I ran a report from Devin Watkins this morning on the news at the top of the hour, where does the information go? Because I hate it just be sitting on a shelf somewhere, because these are the kind of things we need to dive into and understand more deeply.
Well, we're the ones who help spread it, because it's out there. A speech is given. In fact, in the Vatican report, I think it was yesterday, also on this meeting with Monsignor Camilleri, there was a link in the Vatican News report you could click on and read the whole document. But again, it is a document, and what happens so often, Teresa, in these cases is that they're not binding documents.
Right.
You have things like this in the United Nations. They're documents. Maybe everybody, every nation or most signed it. But if they're not binding, if there's no binding solution in there holding a nation responsible for religious freedom or for ecological, you know, whatever. Once something is words, no matter how beautiful they are, how intensely the people believe in them that wrote them, if you don't really go out there, make the report, maybe some group is going to be formed because of this Camilleri message or this UK commission group. Maybe there's going to be a new group out there in the United States who decides to pursue the themes of this message and bring it to Congress. You just never know how things,
right,
how things can work out.
Well, it's good to see this happening on that side of the world in Rome, but also in the United States, because I think we can come together with many different agreements on what's happening. Joan, we're out of time, but thank you so much for your great insight, and we look forward to your reports every week here on Catholic Connection as well on EWTN-TV with our friends Jim and Joy Pinto. You do such a great job. I love seeing you in St. Peter's and all your great reports and really enjoy it. And you can find Joan, Joan's Rome. Also, there's a link to her great work on my new website, TravelItalyExpert.com.
Right.
I keep her blog up there and refer to her as a great resource, as she is. And we'll be right back on a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Don't forget, check out all of Joan's great work, Joan's Rome. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN and Catholic Connection, a co-production of this network and Ave Maria Radio, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. Great resources. And you can also find a report on the topic we were just discussing with the lovely Joan Lewis. This is really an important issue, folks, religious freedom. And don't think that because, you know, we have Catholic radio, which is awesome, that, oh, everything's fine and dandy, you don't have to worry about anything. I'm not trying to cause panic, but what I'm saying is we have to take this issue of the attacks on our faith seriously. It is all over the place. And I guess people like me and Joan see it more because this is what we do. We report on it. But you need to pay attention to when they have these discussions in Rome and here in the United States, the State Department looking at religious freedom. You heard Travis Weber from the Family Research Council. It's getting pretty nuts out there. Well, it has been for a while. Just something real quick. I don't know if I shared this story with you in the National Hour or my regional hour, but a sidewalk counselor in Detroit. This guy has been out there 4 years and carrying signs with images of a baby in the womb and also an aborted baby. And out of the blue, a few weeks ago, somebody comes up out of the street off of 8 Mile Road, infamous 8 Mile Road, with a can of spray paint and sprays the sign. That's a minor thing. Stuff like that is happening, and much worse, all over the country and all over the world. And we need to be aware of it. And we continue to make you aware. We'll talk tomorrow about a great conference that will help you in your fight for religious freedom, Napa Institute, and also a great resource for moms. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.